Okay, let's get our Bibles out, brothers and sisters. Let's get our Bibles out. Today's a special day in the church calendar. What's today?
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday. I wonder, what's the significance of Palm Sunday? Well, let's do a little reading. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, we go to John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. You'll see the story of Palm Sunday.
The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
I think most of you have heard the Palm Sunday story at least once in your life. How many heard it at least once in your life? How many saw it on, the History Channel or some movie? You've seen it too, right? And I want to make sure that we're all on the same page this morning as far as what actually happened, not just what you think happened. I think most of you, if you saw Jesus or one of the movies made about him, you probably saw that he came riding in on a donkey, and there might have been like maybe 50 people around, and they were waving palm branches. How many understand that? You've seen him, right? You've seen him coming. Well, I want to clearly explain to you that that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Similar, but not entirely. Fact is, the great historian Josephus recorded approximately how many sacrificial lambs were slain on the Passover. How many would that have been? He recorded it. For example, on one recording of how many sacrificial lambs were sacrificed on Passover, it was 286,000. See, not one, not two or three or four, 286,000. That's a lot of lamb, right? And a sacrificial lamb was usually sacrificed for a family, and the family could be composed of, say, 10 folks. So you do the math, right? There'd have been over 500,000 people pouring in for sacrifices. Over 500,000. And of course, you had the Romans that were there. You had the Gentiles that were there. So I want you to envision in your mind that when Jesus came into the city for the Passover, there wasn't 20, 30, 40 people. It was how many? Millions. Millions. Not 30, 40, 50. Right, Ed? Millions. To get a better idea what that might look like, I want you to think of Times Square on New Year's Eve. I want you to envision Times Square on New Year's Eve. Everybody got that in your mind? New Year's Eve, Times Square, like that. And Jesus comes in to that. That's a lot of people. That's a whole lot of people. And not only was that a whole lot of people, but that was a whole lot of different attitudes too. Wasn't it? See, we think that when Jesus came in triumphantly riding on the back of a donkey, that everybody was excited. But guess what? They weren't. A couple million people saw that. And I wonder what their attitudes were towards this man riding on the back of a donkey. I wonder if they were all shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." Or might some of them have been making fun? You think there's at least a possibility that some people were ridiculing him? You think it's at least possible that some people were saying, "What is that all about?" You think that's possible? Surely was. Let's talk about the first group of people that might have been present, and a couple million people looking at this experience of Jesus coming into town riding on the back of a donkey. I would suppose that it was a carnival type system. I would be surprised if it wasn't vendors selling things. I would be surprised if there wasn't people partying. I would be surprised if people were not doing things that might not be coming of the coming of Jesus Christ into their town. I would be willing to bet that a lot of things were going on. And what would have been the first group of people that might have been seeing this Jesus coming into town? What would be maybe the first group? Well, it would be the Romans. The Roman soldiers were there. And as the crowd begins to honor this man riding in on a donkey, I suppose that the Roman soldiers would have been looking at that. What do you think they might be thinking? They were not into the custom of Passover. They probably were making fun of the Jewish people at the time. And all the Roman soldiers probably looking back and probably looking at this and probably talking amongst themselves and saying, what is this all about? We're in control of the country, and we see this guy coming in here with a group of people waving palm branches and causing a little commotion. What do you think the Roman soldiers might have been thinking? We better watch this. So this does not get out of control. I think the Roman soldiers are probably looking at all that and saying, what does this demonstration mean? I mean, maybe they were expecting to have to quell a riot. But then here comes Jesus riding on a donkey's colt. I would be willing to bet that some of the Roman soldiers probably smiling sarcastically. This is a triumphal entry? Really? I mean, when Roman soldiers came into a town they conquered, they knew how to do a triumphant entry. You think they picked a donkey?
No.
Probably not. Probably some chariots. Probably some fantastically wonderful horses. Triumphant entry? A donkey? That's triumphant? Really? And the unfortunate truth is, brothers and sisters, is that there are people today in 2015 that look at that and they say, triumphant? On a donkey? That's something to celebrate? Even today, there are people that would take a look at what we celebrate today and say, that's a powerful leader? On a donkey? That doesn't seem too powerful to me. And even today, let's just face it, even today, Christians are ridiculed because of who we worship. Would that be a fair statement? Would it not be a fair statement that not only would Jesus have been ridiculed, but everybody honoring him would be ridiculed too? How many of you ever been ridiculed one time for your faith? It's the way it is. It's the way that it is. So we know of the millions of people watching Jesus coming, we know at least one group would certainly have been Roman soldiers. Well, there was a second group too. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 30.
So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?
I think there were people coming by to see some magic. They would come by and see this miracle worker. Because the rumors were on the street that this guy on the donkey, he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And I think they were amused. How many's ever heard a fantastic story you said, there's no way that happened? Anybody heard a story said, there's no way that never happened? Until you said, I need to see it what? With my own eyes. And so people were probably gathering saying, oh, this is that Jesus fella who does the miracles. Well, I come to see what? I come to see one. Oh, I want to see one of those. This miracle working Jesus. In order for me to believe that he's real, I need to see what? I want to see that 5,000. I'm kind of hungry myself. Maybe I'll be fortunate to get some bread and some fish. There's a group of people there, we clearly know, that they were looking at it for themselves. Let's look at Mark 7:6.
He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.
Many people that day, they had heard about the miraculous things that he can do, and they just needed to reach out. If it was 2015, if it was 2015, stand up a minute, Sonny. If it was 2015, this would be what it'd be like. You know, turn around, come here, Sonny. This is Jesus, right? And he did all the miracle workers. I come up and I go, ooh, ooh, ooh. But what I've been doing? Taking a selfie. Oh, thank you, Jesus. One more, Jesus. One more. Oh, by the way, he ain't Jesus. He's my dear friend. But if it's 2015, people would want to do what? Oh, give me, come on, Jesus, come here. Smile, Jesus. I want to show people I was standing next to you, Jesus. Huh? Can you sign my book? I heard about the things that you can do. The words are on the street. And I want to let people know I was standing right with you. See, they honor him with their lips. You know, the sad part is that you see all these singers and actors and all these kind of things, and they think people love them. No, they don't. No, they don't. They just want to what? Get a little close. And the closer that you get, the more important that you seem to be. Oh, there was that group of people there too. The Roman soldiers were there watching all this. You had those people just wanting to get close, to get a little selfie. Get close to Jesus. So I can go out and talk to people and say, guess who I took a selfie with? You know that guy that turned those fed them 5,000 people? Guess what? I got my picture taken with them. Ooh, let me see. How many think that group of people was there too? You know there were. You clearly know there were. Honoring him with their lips, but not their heart. Matthew 23:28.
In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness.
There are people in this world that want Jesus to do something for them too. Don't they? Come on, Jesus. What can you do for me? Surely you can work one of them signs for me too. Can't you, Jesus? I mean, I heard about all those wonderful things that you do. Can't you hook me up, Jesus? Come on. Surely you got something in that bag for me. You think the church is any different today? I don't think so. The truth of the matter is, there are people who turn away from Jesus because they're not getting that miracle that they think they deserve. Well, if you really are God and you're so powerful and you're so holy, why aren't you doing that for me? I mean, if you're God and you can do all those miracles, Lord, hey, I heard that you fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. If you can do that, Lord, work a miracle and go down to Ethiopia where all them kids are starving and get yourself some 5 loaves and feed some kids. That's what we think. And you shake your fist at God and you say, Lord, if you are so holy, why haven't you done something about all those kids that are starving to death? And he said, I did. I made you.
Amen.
I did. I made you. Why aren't you? Church, if a woman up the street has a hole in her roof and water's leaking through there, and you pray, you think God's going to send down some angel carpenters in the angel union with a little nail gun wrapped around their feathered wings? Is that what he's going to do? He's going to send who? He's going to send you. If people need fed down the street, God don't send down chef angels with a hat on. He sends who? Us. He sends us. Brothers and sisters, God does not bless to you. He blesses through you.
Amen.
It's not so much also what he can do, it's what can you do through him. Years ago, we all read that. We all had that little bracelet. You all had one. I saw you had one 10 years ago. Everyone had one. WWJD. How many had one? I saw. You know you had it. What would Jesus do? You know, I had the better one. No, what would Jesus have me do? I know what he would do. The question is not what he would do. The question is what I would do. And there were people lying in the streets. Lying in the streets. Trying to get a look at this Jesus fella. Get a selfie with him. Maybe get a little request. Hey Jesus, when you get some time, handle this for me. Well, it was. Let's turn to Ezekiel 34, verses 2 and 3.
Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock.
I wonder how many pastors would love to have a breakfast with Franklin Graham. Wonder. That's what I'm just curious. If Franklin Graham came into town and he was going to do a revival service, I wonder how many of our religious leaders say, oh, sign me up. And make sure I have the seat right next to who? Franklin Graham. I wonder how many pastors would say, well, you know what? I'm not going to get to the breakfast. I'm going to go down on the north side of Pittsburgh and make sure I round up some folks who need to go hear Franklin Graham. The truth of the matter is, there were religious leaders back then. They had to get around Jesus so they could feel what? Important. You think any of that goes on today in the churches?
Yes.
Where religious leaders need to feel important? I read a story a little while ago about one of our evangelists, not here, of course, just bought a jet. A private jet. Now, when I think about that, that could get me from Chippewa to here in a real quick hurry. Since I could jump on our jet at Beaver County Airport and skip on over here to Pittsburgh International Airport like in what, a minute? That would save some time. So maybe that guy's right. I just thought about that. A private jet. Because you can. Because the Lord God wants us to be prosperous according to Him. Okay. Well, let's tackle that for just a second, church. Let's tackle that for just a second. The Lord wants us to be prosperous. Well, that's true. But how many of you would rather give than receive? How many in this church get a better feeling out of giving away than receiving? Is that not true? And so the Lord God wants us to be prosperous, rich in mercy, rich in grace, rich in love, not rich in monetary stuff. But yet, there are people, there were people there that just wanted to feel close to Jesus so they could say they felt important. Hey, look, I'm one of Jesus' compadres. I'm right beside him. Did you see how important I was? Look at that. And Jesus says, you want to be important, pick up your cross. Jesus said, you want to feel important, sell everything you got. You want to feel important, do it unto the least of these. That's what importance was all about. But they couldn't get it. You know, in the 2 million people, there were people, oh, I got to get close to Jesus. Oh, son of man, prophecy against the shepherds of Israel. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. You think there's leaders in our church taking care of themselves?
Yes.
Should not the shepherd take care of the flock? You eat the curds and clothe yourself with the wool and slaughter the choice animal, but you do not take care of the flock. Incredible. You know, if you want to be first, you need to be willing to be what?
Last.
And I understand, like Sissy and I, and some of you will be going with me this afternoon. I clearly understand it. I'll be going to the Unity Baptist Church on Braddock today. I'll be doing that today. 4:00. I've been invited to be one of the guests at the Unity Baptist Church celebration. I'm going to go. And Sissy's going to be there, and they want me to sing for them. I will. I'll do it. And then they're going to have a dinner. I know they are. And guess where they're going to want me to sit? The first table. And guess what I'm going to try and say to them? No. Because I need to be what? Last. How many have the same mentality in this place? Brothers and sisters, let me just run this by you. There's always more people ready to be fed than willing to feed. There's always people everywhere you go who want and want and want, and not enough people willing to give and give and give. How many know that is true? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And there were people there at that time too. Now, let's go to Isaiah 56:11.
They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. They seek their own gain.
Now, I'm not suggesting that this is entirely wrong, but I'm suggesting there could be an issue with that. I go to some churches and there's the choice parking space for who?
Pastor.
Pastor. Mark, can you take care of that for me? No. You know, the choice parking space ought to be for the handicapped. Right?
Amen.
I mean, the choice spot should be for the least of these, not the pastor because he's a pastor. Right? I mean, that's just the way that it is. And in the church today, we still don't get it. We just still don't get it. And there were people 2 million strong coming to see Jesus, and guess what? They didn't get it either. A carnival. Who is this Jesus? I just need to get close to Him. I need to reach out. I need to make sure I feel important by just being part of Him. And that was going on then, and it goes on today. There are people that just can't get enough. They can't get enough. But yet, there was one more group too. There was one more group. John 12, 20 to 21.
Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus."
When you see Greeks or Gentiles, what do you think that means? Unbelievers. They weren't the Israelites. They weren't the Jewish people. It's us. And they came and they said, "We want to see Jesus. We came for the purpose of what?
Jesus.
Seeing Jesus." Today, as I look out amongst my friends here today, who has a palm branch? Everybody wave. You have a palm branch? Pick a palm branch up. You got a palm branch? Awesome. 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 Okay, cool. I'll put them down. Now see, when you go to where you're going to go this afternoon and you take that palm branch with you, guess what they're going to know about you? You went to church. What else will they know?
Nothing.
No, seriously. What else will they know? Nothing. They'll know that you went to church. I hope I'm not going to get in trouble by doing this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Oh, wow. Yeah. Katie and Corey, stand up a minute. Please? Yeah. I have a reason for this. Turn around. Just turn. See these guys right here? Everybody wave to them. Now let me tell you about my two young friends. That's Corey and Kate. You can sit down so I don't embarrass you too much more. You sit down. This is mine and Sissy's friends, right, Sissy? Kate and Corey. I want to tell you about this. Yesterday, Sissy and I, we went to North Hills because Sissy wanted to get an Easter dress. And when we left there, we called Sonny and Julie and said, "Hey, you guys down at the pub? We're really close. We want to come down and get a bite to eat." And they said, "Yeah, we're there." And so we went down and the place was packed. And guess who's in the kitchen cooking?
Corey.
Corey. Well, you never see him. The only time you see him is when he comes out the back. He's not like coming through the door. He has to go around the back door. Am I right? He has to come through the back door, outside, come back in the front door. Right? Corey, how many hours do you work a day, really?
About 10 to 12.
10 to 12. Now, another good friend of ours is Kate. And Kate is waiting on these folks. How many know not all folks are nice? Right? Not all folks, and Sean is a server too. You would think that everybody's kind, right? But not. Now, Kate, she serves Sissy and I often, always smiling. In fact, Sissy always says how pretty she is, right? You say that all the time. Say, look how pretty that Kate is. Kate's always smiling at you. And I know that she can't be having a wonderful event with everybody at those tables. There's just no way, it's not possible. And I know Corey is back there cooking like a crazy person back there. I know he is. Now, here's how they're going to know that you're a Christian. If you order a meal and it's taking a little longer than you think it should, that's how they're going to know what you say next.
Amen.
That's how they're going to know with what you say next. How about this? When it comes, you say, thank you. Instead of, hey, I've been here 2 minutes now. Really? And this kid, I'm telling you, he just slaves away back there. And it's good stuff, but not everybody's going to be happy. And they're going to whine and they're going to complain. Hey, how about this? Be thankful, first of all, you got the money to go out and eat. Be thankful, number two, you're sitting in a nice place to eat. Be thankful, number three, you're going to get a lot of food to eat. How many ought to be thankful about that?
Amen.
That's how they're going to know. Not by your palm branches. They're going to know by how you love one another. My daughter, Shauna, she's a server, and Kevin did some cooking too. And Kate and Corey, honestly, I couldn't do what they do. I wouldn't be a pastor very long. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
I just tried to last one day, and my tongue would be bitten off from biting it. That's how they'll know that when you choose to make everything evolve around you, you need some more palm branches because you ain't got enough. But when you choose to make the world about everybody else, give away the palm branches you have because you already had a plenty already. So today, we have people in the church. Thank you for being here. Now we have to try to understand why you're here. There were 2 million people back then looking at Jesus, and they weren't all there to see him. They were there for the carnival atmosphere. They were there to, maybe get a glimpse of Jesus, take a selfie. But then some came to see the Lord and say, you know what, I want to see Jesus. I don't want to see the music. I don't want to see the pastor. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I got to see Jesus. How many agree with that statement? I got to come to see the Lord. I got to come to see the Lord. And I don't want to stand beside him. I want him in me.
Amen to that.
I don't want a selfie with him. I want him in me. So somebody wants to get a selfie of the Lord, they don't got to see him, they got to see me. So why are you here? Well, first of all, thanks for being here. I appreciate you so much being here. I really do. I appreciate you being here so much. Thank you for coming today. I appreciate that. And if you don't have enough palm branches, we have some more back there where Shar is at. Right, Shar? There's some more back there by you? Hey, listen, truly, if you need to get a couple more palm, surely take some with you. Shar, can you take about 10 or so away from me, though, because I need to give them to the sons of God. But listen, truly, if you need some more palm, there's more palm back there. You have yours, right, Pastor Cole? So there's some more palm. If you need some more palm, that's fine. But I'd rather have you leave with more Jesus, though.
Amen.
Seriously. I'd rather have you leave with more Jesus. If you need some more palm, take some. If you need more Jesus, how many here could tell somebody how to get some more Jesus in them? Okay, cool. So if you don't have enough Jesus in you, you want some more Jesus, see somebody have a hand up, they'll tell you about some more Jesus, right? Who can tell somebody about some more Jesus? Yeah. We got some more Jesus for you. We got some more Jesus for you. We got some palm branches, take as many as you desire. You got some more Jesus in you. You go to this restaurant where these two young kids work. Take a piece of palm with you, try to make a cross at the table. They'll know you went to church. Treat them with kindness and compassion. Tell them how much you enjoy them. Say thank you. They'll know you're a Christian. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's be in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to even be here today. Thank you, Lord, so much that we have come to see more of you. Lord, we really did. We came to see you. We came to get a glimpse of the Savior. We came to get a glimpse of Jesus the Messiah. Well, thank you so much, Lord, that we know 2,000 years ago or so, you came riding into Jerusalem, not for the honor, but for the death, and then receive your honor for taking away the sins of the world. Thank you, Lord, for taking away mine. And I'm sure everybody in this room would say thank you, Lord, for taking away theirs too. So, Lord, as we get ready for Easter Sunday next week, help us to understand that there can't be a Resurrection Sunday without a Crucifixion Friday. And help us to understand, Lord, there can't be a Crucifixion Friday if there was not a triumphant entry. So thank you, Lord, for loving us that much that you would come riding on the back of a donkey so that you could be nailed to a tree. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us that much. And all of God's children said,
amen.